listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Phil is suffering from a bit of a chest and a throat cold. Is that it, Phil?
Yeah.
And that's why you're hearing it in me.
And you'll probably hear a little bit of it in me.
Yeah, and me.
And me, Robert Leonard. And everyone
that you control, every life you control, every so-called character voice. But let's say it like it is. Every life that you torture with your wretched cold. I'm Margaret Gray.
Now, every time you do that, you're scaring the cat.
Yeah.
Bray, are you okay, honey? Look at her reaching out and trying to touch Daddy. What's going on, girl?
She's been doing that lately, hasn't she?
If you watched the video cast the other night of our chat, Brea, we had the Brea cam on, and she was reaching out and trying to touch things, and just now she stretched out to touch me.
Reach out and touch someone?
Yeah, she was reaching out and touching...
Well, someone. Maybe she wanted to reach out and touch a cat.
What do you mean, reach out and touch a cat?
Why would she want to reach out and...
Because I'm here... You know, I read something once.
Because you're here what?
Wait. I read something once that cats consider us to be cats, only clumsy.
What?
Say that again.
In other words, cats, when they look at humans, when they look at us, and cats are not pack animals. Cats are singular kind of buddy animals, so they buddy off with everybody. So you may have one cat and five people in the house. That cat has five different relationships with everybody in the house, whereas a dog is a member of the family. You understand?
What is this stuff you were saying?
Oh, no, so hold on. So cats, when they look at us, they see us as another cat, but bigger and clumsier.
Bigger and clumsier. In what sense?
Because we don't know how to do the stuff they know how to do, but we're big and we can get stuff done. So they're kind of cool with us, but they're also not cool with us. But they can relate to us, and so that's where they hang out. You know, that's why Bray is sitting here. And
a moment ago, a lot of the folks that are not watching the video cast, Bray reached out as if to say to Phil, why don't you let me take it from here because you're carving this an ass. Wouldn't you say that was the read, Phil?
No, I would not.
Yeah, we get that.
I just thought I'd see what Phil would say.
Right. Anyway, welcome to the show. And as Margaret indicated, and as the general indicated, as all you guys did.
You're knocking.
Move the phone. Oh, sorry. I came down with this throat and chest cold over the weekend. And it was bad, so I decided to. Last night we did, yesterday was our encore show, and today is going to be our regular show.
Now, are you
going to
do two regular shows and then the.
I don't know yet, General. Just.
Okay, I'm just, you know, we got a lot of people that want to know.
You know, there are an awful lot of people that must know. They simply have to know, what are you going to do? Are they getting their money's worth with the subscription?
I would submit to you, yes, that they are. And there is, as I said, the biggest...
Yes, we know, the largest archive. Phil, you talk about your archive like...
Yeah, like, you know...
Like it's what?
Pardon me, Margaret, but Phil talks about his archive like it's his dick.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know,
that was completely unnecessary.
General, that was really unnecessary. And no, I do not.
Well, you're always talking about the massive size of it.
Yeah, how's that like his dick?
All right, I'm going to kick...
Wait a minute, hold on.
Hey, watch it. Anybody starts using dirty words around here, I kick it off, then you guys can follow, okay?
Got it.
Okay.
Fine.
Now then, what did I just say? Now then, anyway, I had this cold, which I still have. And, God, it was so... Yesterday, I was really beat. Today, you know, the thing about colds, man, is they kill you.
Yeah, but what about all this, flu shot?
Yeah, tell us about the flu shot. Let me tell you something about the flu shot. If I hadn't had the flu shot, I wouldn't be on the air the whole week. This whole week would be washed out. I'm telling that right now because I know I've had these kinds of colds and chest cold and stuff like that, man. It sucks. Okay, tonight we have with us, or should say today, Larry Grover is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking with Larry about a young lady that he met at the print shop that he had a date with. He's called off the date because of Trump's address tonight.
What?
Yeah, because there's going to be an address by the president. Larry wants to be home to see this, and I just talked to his mother, Gloria, and this girl is absolutely gorgeous, and she's been after Larry to take her out now for, you know...
Well, the man wants to, you know, watch the address.
But this is the first real date that Larry has had.
Mr. Ernie, this is the first real date.
I don't want to hear this anymore. That's kind of nitpicking at the way people's voices sound, but you did do that, Phil.
Thank you very much. This is the first real date that apparently Larry has had in could be years, for all I know.
Wait. So he's got a hot, she's an attractive young lady, I take it?
According to Larry's mom, yeah, she's beautiful. and she's attracted to Larry on some level, or at least likes him as a friend or something. But once he finally asked her out, they were going to go out to dinner tonight, and then Larry found out that Trump is addressing the nation, and so he has called it off and wants to stay home. He's
Now, there's a word that's not used in the 20th century at all.
Yeah, that's from the 19th century, Phil.
Yeah,
I know. Now, apparently Larry got a box of bugles.
Well, what's the big... Oh, my... He did what?
He got a box of bugles, and he got himself a couple of big quarts of Pepsi, and he's going to sit back and watch Trump tonight eating bugles? And holy Christ.
Yes.
And that's why his mother's concerned. So we're going to talk with Larry. Next up on the agenda is Bob Green, August Gray. Some of the people that we have on the inner circle of our show, listeners, subscribers, I should say inner circle, that's a more, we have an advisory council of listeners.
I'll take it from here. Phil has a number of subscribers and listeners down through the years that sometimes advise Phil on matters having to do with the website and the show. August Gray, Rory McLeod, Melissa Wolf, and Jeff Baker, we're talking with Bob Green, right?
Yeah, they got with Bob Green. What was it? Oh, yeah, Bob was upset. He wasn't really upset, but he didn't like the way he was portrayed on the Encore show yesterday, where he was bugging everybody about the chicken wings.
Oh, this, yeah. Well, he was driving people nuts. You know, you're going to buy something?
Yeah, the guy's all like, yeah, you had a chicken wing, you're going to buy a piece of bubble gum or something.
Right, so he wanted to know what was the best possible way for him to sort of reintroduce himself or to at least to square it with our listeners and with his customers so that it doesn't sound like he's some skinflint creep. And so he was on the phone today on a conference call with those guys.
He was on a conference call with Melissa and Jeff and who?
And August and Rory.
Okay, about what?
I just got done telling you, General.
All right, sorry.
God damn.
Talking about how I can find his way into good graces.
No, it's not that so much. It's that he wants to know how he can present himself a little bit better than he did on that show. That's a year-old show. And I made the point to him.
Well, yes, that was an encore from last year.
Yeah, and I made the point to him, you know, you have moved on, Bob. You're not, you know.
He's not the pain in the ass he was.
I didn't say that, but sort of, yeah. All right, so that's coming up here on the show today. Thank you very much, you guys, for hanging with me here in this period here where we have a little bit of a, like I said, this cold. I'm hitting the dump button a lot here.
Yeah, Phil is hacking his guts up here.
I tell you, yesterday and last night, when I got up this morning, I felt like hell. I thought, there's no way I can do a show today. And somehow, some way, things kind of chilled out. One of the things I did is I went outside. You know, if you got a cold, let me just say,
you know, you don't sound all that good, though, Phil, but the stuffed-up nose and the snot.
Yeah, Stan, you're all going, you know.
Yeah, okay, man. Well, if I am, you are. So, anyway.
Go ahead, Phil.
I got up this morning, I felt like hell. I said, there's no way. One of the things if you got a chest cold, a really good thing to do is to go outside and breathe some of the cold air, especially when it's weather like this. Now, I'm not saying you got pneumonia to do it, but if you just simply have a congestion, you know.
Oh, yeah, you go out and get a little bit of that fresh air, for God's sake. A lot of these people sit around in their houses, and it's nothing but an incubator for disease.
Yeah, there's a lot of germ and everything.
Well, that's a good idea. I remember when Jason J. Delmonico was young. Now,
it's going to take long?
Yes, it might take all night.
General, come on.
All right. When Jason J. Delmonico was young and he used to have the coughs and the colds as an infant, I would take him outside and then leave him out there and go back in the house.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. Look at Phil, you got a little bit of a giggle out of that, didn't you?
I did.
But I would take him outside so that he could breathe the air, and he would breathe the air.
And then you'd leave him out there.
Then I'd leave him out there, yes.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Mom.
Phil, you know I'm joking.
I know you're joking, but you did. You took him outside.
Yes, a lot of times we take him outside and let him breathe the air because that would clear up the lungs. When you're an infant, and he was, it's difficult. They're just crying and they're coughing and they're coughing and they're crying, so you can't really talk to them. So I would take him out there and he would get a good lung full of fresh air, and then I'd just leave him on top of a garbage can. All right, Phil.
I think we worked that joke. Thank you very much, folks.
Speaking of working the joke, are we done with the show?
No, we're not. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Felix Weatherly Cadillacs. Cadillacs for miles. Cadillacs until you can't see anything but Cadillacs. Where does he get them? How does he find them? Does he have a deal with the guy that makes Cadillacs? It's none of your business. Felix Weatherly Cadillacs, off the Harbor Freeway in Tehangi. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Grovers with us, Larry and...
We got Larry and Gloria Grover on the line with us from their home in Culver City, California. I'm going to be very interested to find out here, Larry. Your mother spoke with Phil earlier, and she said that you have a young lady at work there that is attracted to you.
Hold on for a minute. You talk about a young lady at work being attracted to me, and for the first time, Mother, you are invited on. You'll notice, Mother, that you've been on many times.
All right, Larry, I appreciate it. I'm on the extension, Phil.
Okay. Now, Larry, but there's a young lady at work that wanted to go out with you, right?
No, that's not the case. This was a young lady at work that I had a great many conversations with her. I had, hit it off with her. We shared lunch a couple of times there at work. I work over at Culver Print. And we have a break room over there.
Yeah, Culver Print is a...
It's a printing company. It's where you get things printed up. We're almost out of business because everybody does it by way of their computers. But nonetheless, and then finally, she asked me out to dinner. And I thought that I came home and told Mother...
Larry came home excited. He said, a girl likes me.
And I did not say that, Mother. I didn't put it that way.
Larry, but you essentially did, Larry. Larry came home and said, Mom, a girl likes me and wants me to go to dinner with her.
Why do you say it like that?
That's the way it sounded to my motherly ears.
But wait, the bigger question here is, did she ask you out?
Yeah, this lady asked you out.
Yes, she did. She said, would you like to go to dinner? And I did come home and I told Mother that. I said, the young lady at work asked me to dinner.
And Larry said, you said what?
I said, of course. I'd be happy to go to dinner with you. And I said, where? And
you asked her where?
I wanted to know how much it was going to... Well, if she's asking me out, that was the thing I wanted to...
Larry, you should never ask her where.
Where did she say you guys were going to go to dinner?
She said she hadn't thought about it. And that's when I asked her, is this Dutch treat? And she said, if you want it to be...
Boy, you know how to do all the wrong things, don't you, man?
That's exactly what I told him, Phil. I said, for Christ on a crutch.
Mother, watch your language, please. What? Oh, okay. Are you Mr. Suave or something?
Look, Larry, this is General Shaw. Please understand, I'm not trying to put you down, but you said about two of the dumbest things. Where are we going for dinner, and is it Dutch treat?
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't think I was... Asked the young lady...
Look, she asked you out to dinner. You should have just said, well, yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to. And leave it at that. Let her answer all the questions about where and so on.
This is a young woman, and I saw her picture, Phil, and she's very lovely. And Larry, when's the last time you were out on a date, Larry?
You know what? That's no one's business.
When was the last time you were out? I'll tell Mr. Hendry unless you do.
2 years.
2 years Larry hasn't shagged.
What, Mother?
Okay, can we watch the way we put things?
I'm sorry.
So, Larry, 2 years you haven't had a date. Now this young lady who, by all accounts, is very pretty, right?
She's very lovely, yes.
And not only that, so Larry's in his early 50s. She's 31 years old.
All right, now, I got to ask you a question here, okay?
Yeah, you got that, though, Mr. Ernie, right? She's 31?
Yeah, I got that. That's pretty cool. A young woman is attracted to you?
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, but I got to ask you a question. And I'm sorry to put it this way. Now, do you have money or something, Larry?
Look at Mr. Henry. You don't think my boy is attractive to a woman?
Jesus Christ, Phil.
God, are you saying she's not going to go out with him?
No, I'm not saying that.
Man, you don't think a young woman's going to go out with an older guy unless he's got money, huh?
I'm not saying that either. I just want to get that stuff out of the way.
Hey, Mr. Henry, do you think I'd be sleeping on a cot on my mother's service porch if I had money? Oh!
Larry, but you know something, Larry? I've suspected for a long time that you're socking it away somewhere, and you plead poor with me.
Nonetheless, I think it's a decent question. She's a beautiful young lady. She's asking you out.
Yeah, must be because I've got money, huh? Or she thinks I do.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. We're talking to Larry Grover.
Well, good God, Henry.
You know, Phil, I think that's very insulting.
All right, Larry, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, give the guy a break, will you?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe she likes his personality.
I mean, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about politics and so forth, so I...
But... And yeah, here's the capper, though. You have to tell Mr. Henry the capper, because this is the one that really...
Now, hold on for a minute. I told her we would reschedule.
Reschedule. This young girl, and
you say young girl, she's 31.
This young girl, as far as you're concerned, Larry, ask Larry out to dinner with all the fixings, as far as I know. I don't know.
No, you don't know.
Okay, and how about this? What are you going to do if she takes her clothes off right there in the car?
Well, I won't be knowing it because I'm...
Yeah, here we go. You won't be knowing it.
Wait, what are you asking him? What is this conversation about?
All right. Trump is giving an address tonight, and Larry called the date off.
I have to watch Trump's...
Grover, you are the dumbest guy. I mean, I knew that. I suspected as much.
Wait. You're calling off the date?
You're calling off the date because why?
The President of the United States is speaking at 9 o'clock. Oh, my God. You didn't hear the news?
Larry, don't you think you can watch a tape replay of that?
The immediacy of that...
The immediacy of what?
You're talking about just because it's live?
The immediacy of that address, yes, is important. Look, it's not a big deal, but I said to her...
What is this girl's name?
Her name's Jennifer.
Okay, and so Jennifer asked you out, this pretty young woman, and you're not going to go out with her.
I said to her, let's take a rain check... Okay.
Let's take a boy, a young lady that has the temerity to ask a man out, and, you know, it probably will be paying for your dinner, okay?
I told her, I said, let's not do anything fancy. Why don't we go over here to Coco's?
To Coco's? Woo! What a dork.
Larry, you didn't say that to her.
I didn't want her to break the bank. But anyway, I said, look. The president's speaking tonight. Would you like to come over to the house and watch it with Mother and I?
I wouldn't sit down and watch that speech with you. Now, are you telling me that you're going to bring that girl over?
She didn't want to. She said, let's take a rain check on it. And I said,
Larry, you did everything wrong. First of all, you said, let's take a rain check and go to Coco's. Secondly...
Ms. Gray, you're all like Coco's. Ms. Gray, I can understand you.
Secondly, then you say, well, let's go ahead and take a rain check anyway... And I'll treat you to a dinner at Coco's. Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say that, but yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing.
Larry, you're going to be lucky if this girl goes out with you again. You're going to be lucky if this girl...
She said yes, she'd be very interested in that.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like a resounding endorsement. She'd be very interested in that. Larry, I love you so much, but you are such a pud-paddling...
Yeah, okay, Mother, thanks a lot. Thanks for your vote of confidence.
Why would I give you a vote of confidence, Larry, when you take something like that? You had gold in the palm of your hand, Larry, and you put it right there at the bottom of the latrine and went, yeah, just played urinal football with it.
Very nice, Mother. Very nice indeed.
Now tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong. This is, look at Phil, you know as well as I do, as well as anybody who knows Larry Grover, you know that the future of this country... And keeping these liberals from taking it over has been very important to me. Tonight, the president has an extremely important policy speech, and you want me to be over there just living the life, living it up at Coco's with the chicken dinner and, you know, in a hot fudge sundae or whatever we're going
to
do?
Boy, yeah, that's living. Going to Coco's for the chicken dinner. Larry, you wouldn't have fun on a date if you were taken to the Taj Mahal and the girl was already naked waiting there for you after dessert.
Shut up, bud.
All right, thank you. You guys are getting your laughs and your kicks. But when our country finally comes together under the tutelage and the leadership...
Yeah, Larry, I understand. And there's nothing wrong with you being patriotic. There's nothing wrong with you supporting the president. Nothing wrong with any of that.
Now, there's something wrong with the fact that I support the president when I really ought to be taking advantage of a young lady.
That's right, Larry. Taking advantage of her over there with the chicken dinner and the hot fudge sundae at Coco's. Christ on a crutch, what have I done? What have I done?
What is wrong, Gloria?
Look what I've raised, a simpering. This guy is near, it's what I call near queer.
Oh, let's not do that, okay?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's watch that, all right? That's very bigoted of you.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with all that homophobia and everything.
Yeah, the homophobia.
Okay, is Larry there?
Larry?
What do you want?
He's over in the corner sulking. He's smoking a cigarette, looking at his... What are you looking at your zipper for?
It broke.
Looking at his fly.
Okay, can I...
Come on, Larry.
Yes.
Larry, please listen to me for a minute. I'm not trying to run your life.
Oh, no, not much. You people are making fun. I just got called near queer by my mom.
All right, let's not use that language anymore. Let's listen to me, please. All right, you already said you can't tape it.
I'm not going to tape one of the most important policy statements made by the President of the United States. You people will never understand.
Larry, your wife left you, and you've been single here living on a porch for 9 years. Larry, get it together, Jim.
Mother, you can talk like a beatnik all you want. It'll never move me off of this. My number one and most important commitment is to the future of this country, and also I will not be pushed into a sexual relationship with a young, especially a woman 20 years younger than me.
Yeah?
I gotta go get gasoline, you know that.
Are you still doing that, man?
Come on, Grover, are you trying to tell me you're still burning the sheets after sex?
I'm not gonna have carnal relations without a good solid solvent like gasoline.
Get a load of that, Phil. You bring gasoline into my home and you'll burn right along with the bedding.
Oh, wow, Mother.
Right.
Listen, I have to go now.
God, listen to Phil. It sounds like he almost has to urinate, doesn't it?
I think he does.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil.
No, I don't. I just have to go now, and I encourage you, Larry, to rethink this. This is the stupidest thing.
Now, too late now. I already told her, and I don't regret it. I said to this young lady, I said, Jennifer, look, let's take a rain check. I'll treat you to a dinner at Coco's. She said, well, that's where I thought we'd go. And I said, right, but not tonight, because President Trump is having a speech.
How did she react to that when you said it to her?
React to what?
When you said it, you were going to stay home and watch Trump.
She said, oh, I see. She seemed okay with it.
Oh, sure. Larry, I don't know where I went wrong, but I must have raised. Somewhere along the line, you went from being a bright, clear-eyed boy to just something that's dull and dead and staggers out in the front yard. You got it.
One of the living dead, right?
Uh-huh. Walker, skin job. That's it. That's my son, Phil. A dead-eyed skin job.
What a bust. All of you people, excuse my language, but all of you people are just garbage.
Ooh, Larry.
Oh, man.
Well, that was a good job there, Phil.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How's this my fault?
I mean, Mr. Henry, you know, you could have talked him out of it.
I tried to talk him out of it. Didn't you hear me? I said, Larry, you know, can't this wait another night?
Yeah, well, not much. That really wasn't much of a try.
What do you want me to say to the guy? What would you have said?
I would have said to him, Larry, this is your one shot in a million at being happy.
Uh-huh. And he would have said,
hold on. Your one shot in a million at being happy, Larry. Think of how happy President Trump will be if you were to find a young lady that you can settle down with and you can listen to all of his other speeches.
You know what? He's not going to go for it. You apparently haven't been listening to this guy for the years that we've had him on. It doesn't matter. Larry will give up. General Shaw, you said it. The guy would give up a date at the Taj Mahal if her clothes were off before dessert.
I said after dessert.
No, you did not. You said...
Yeah, you said before dessert.
I'm pretty sure...
Wait a minute. Roll the tape back.
We're not... We'll be right back. This is the world... We got...
Wait a minute. We'll be right back. What did you just say?
We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob Green next. That's who I was thinking of.
Hi, folks. Bob Green here, and we're very happy to be sponsoring this segment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Come on into Fraser Foods in Buena Park. We've got a great selection of cucumbers. We've got zucchinis. We've got carrots. We've got celery sticks. And I'm sure we have round vegetables as well. I know that it sounds like I'm just pointing out the ones that are straight and hard.
Fraser Foods. Come on in today.
I'm Bob Green.
Hey, welcome back, folks. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And again, I thank all of you guys for hanging in with me here on this kind of a...
I call this like chest cold Tuesday or something.
Yeah, it is. It's chest cold Tuesday.
Now, what do you do about auditions when you have a cold?
You mean like...
Yeah, what are you doing your voiceover auditions?
You can't do them. You can't do them.
What? Man, some other guy's going to get the job.
Wait a minute. What's the point of me doing a voiceover audition if my voice sounds like crap? What's the point of me sending in a tape that sounds like crap?
What if they happen to like what you're doing, Phil?
Great. Then guess what happens? The cold goes away, and then I got to walk in there and what, sound like I got a cold?
What? Say that again.
I'm not going to say it again. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, so.
Yeah, but didn't you have a cold when you got that one job?
What are you talking about, man?
Bud's talking about the camera job. It sounds like we're dropping a lot of Hollywood stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, we are. But then Phil's putting all these words into our mouths, and we don't really...
All right, thank you very much. Phil Henry Show on philhenryshow.com. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods was on our show yesterday on an encore show, on an encore appearance. He was live from... Well, wherever he was live from, I guess he was at Fraser Foods. He's at Fraser Foods again tonight. And one of the things about the show yesterday, Bob, that you were listening to and didn't like was the fact that you sounded like you're kind of nitpicky. You sounded like you're a little bit, you were being small instead of magnanimous.
Yeah, so the thing that I worried about when I heard the show from yesterday was that, you know, I was saying that when we had the promotion last year and we had the Buffalo Wing promotion,
Let me just get people up to speed.
Go ahead.
Robert was on the show yesterday. He was on our encore show. We aired it yesterday, and it was this time last year he was talking about Buffalo Wings. They were promoting Buffalo Wings because the Buffalo Bills were in the playoffs. And you were sort of put out by the fact that a lot of people that were sampling the Buffalo Wings weren't in the store buying anything.
No, it didn't seem like they were. And in retrospect, it sounded like I was being very petty and being very small. And I was not, a magnanimous. I wasn't being a very good store owner and my relationship with my public. So I wanted to come back on the show tonight, and I appreciate you having me on, to let people know that really that is not Bob Greene today. That was me. And, you know, I do that show for you every now and again, Phil.
Yeah, Bob Greene today.
Bob Greene today. And I feel like maybe I'm due to do another one because Bob Greene today is not that guy that was upset because no one was buying anything in the store while I was giving away Buffalo Wings. That was wrong of me. And I want to thank your listener panel.
Now you spoke with August?
I spoke with August Gray. I spoke with Melissa Wolf, Rory McLeod, and Jeff Baker. Now, these are your an advisory panel, is that it?
They're four of many people, many of our listeners that we talk with, yeah.
All right, well, they said to me, go on the show and just be very honest and forthright. And let people know where you're coming from. And I said, thank you, I will. And that's when I called you, Phil.
I did? Yeah, I mean, you did, yes.
I did. And you said to me, well, can we record it? And I said, yes. But the recording did not go the way I planned.
Yeah, okay, and I apologize for that.
Because you mentioned something that I don't think you had to.
No, hold on. We were having small talk.
Yes, I did ask about your cat.
Right, we were having small talk, and then we went ahead, but we played the recording.
And in retrospect...
And we played it back for the... Here's what happened, folks. Can I, Bob?
Go ahead. You know, you're doing a lot of explaining for the stuff that I've said, though. That's the part that...
All right, then you explain it.
All right, I came on, and I said, go ahead, Phil, let's record this. And it was a conversation I had with Phil where I said that I'm sorry about having been petty last year, and Phil said, that's okay. And we got into small talk about his cat, and Phil says that his cat finally had a normal bowel movement. And I said, you know what, I don't know what I said, but I hung up. And you went ahead and you aired that anyway.
I didn't air it. It was a promo that we aired, yeah.
Well, then you aired it.
Bob, wait a second. Phil thought that was for laughs.
For laughs? I'm trying to say to the audience, I'm sorry for being petty. I'm sorry for being a skinflint. And Phil says, well, that's okay. And I said, well, what's going on? He says his cat had a normal bowel movement.
And you said go to the devil or something like that.
I told him to go straight to the devil, and I hung up, yeah.
All right. And I tried to call you back.
You tried to call me. What? See, this is what I'm saying. When Bob Greene tries to do something right, and then you come along and tell me about your cat taking a dump...
Bob, you asked Phil about his cat.
Let me play this recording, folks, okay?
What are you going to humiliate me again?
Look, either we do that, or people are just listening to you and I talking about it, and they can't decide for themselves.
All right.
Bob Greene with us here on the Phil Henry Show. Looking forward to having you on the show tonight, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Phil.
Bob, I know last year, and we aired the show yesterday, you were in a bit of a mood concerning the Buffalo Wings that you were, you know, giving away. You didn't feel people had purchased enough in the store, and you felt like the promotion was a bad promotion. In retrospect, after having heard the show, what do you think?
I think, Phil, in retrospect, Bob Greene could have dealt with things a little bit better. I am, if nothing, a man that learns from his mistakes. And I want everyone to know that they're welcome at Fraser Foods anytime, day or night. And no matter what kind of a promotion we have going, you are welcome to come into the store and peruse whatever you want and buy something, don't buy something. It's just a pleasure having you there. My apologies for the kind of attitude that I exhibited on the show yesterday. We like to think that we are a family operation. I've known Phil for the last 25 years. Phil and I talk about all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, you were just telling me about your cat, Brea, Phil, and just back from the veterinarian.
Exactly, yeah. And we were talking about some of that cat food. You have the venison?
We have venison, and we have duck, and we have rabbit. We have all that new cat food that veterinarians are recommending now, and I know that your cat has been ill for quite some time.
Well, she's an old cat.
How old is she?
She's 15.
And you say that she's had some digestive problems?
Right. She has, but she is now well on her way. She just had a normal bowel movement. It was. She used to have that green, muddy kind of diarrhea.
Jesus. Muddy diarrhea.
Oh.
Bob?
Hi, Dad.
Yeah, we're on.
Are you going to blame me for hanging up?
Well, yeah, I'm going to blame you for hanging up.
Well, yeah, I'm going to blame you.
Hey, I thought we weren't going to do that anymore.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm going to blame you for hanging up.
Why would you blame me for hanging up? Here I am trying to get my reputation back, and you start talking about green, muddy diarrhea?
You were asking me about my cat. We were talking about cat food that you have. We're talking about how you're it's a family operation. I thought it was a really good segue.
Well, I didn't think it was a good segue, Phil. I think what you did there was sabotage me. And then you aired it.
Of course I aired it, man. You told me that I could air it.
Then why would you make me look like a dick?
Because I thought you were kidding. I'm sorry.
You thought I was kidding? What made that sound like a joke to you?
Hey, Bob, don't get up in my face about it. You asked to come on the show because you wanted to chill out your reputation, you know, and you wanted everybody to like you again.
Chill out? Oh, I want to... You know, Phil...
Bob, here you are right now in the middle of a show where you were going to try to rehabilitate your reputation, and you're ripping into Phil.
That's right, Bob. That's exactly what you're doing.
That's right, Bob.
Hey, Green, you know I'm going to come down to your store, and I'm going to take a leak over all of your produce.
Yeah!
Oh, shut your hole.
Come on, bud.
Is that right? Why? Because Bob Green cares about his reputation, and Henry's talking about his cat having a bowel movement?
Man.
Oh, and you're laughing at me.
Of course we're laughing at you.
No, you. Nobody else is.
I'm not. All right.
I think it's very unfair, Phil.
Oh, no, Bob. There's nothing unfair about it. You got a problem. And the problem is called, I'm Bob Green, and you're not. That's what your problem is.
No, it's I'm Bob Green today.
Well, you ain't changed much today from the guy last year. If this is going to be a big thing, you should have just played it off as a joke.
I guess it's too late now, huh?
Yeah, it's too late, man. You're coming on here yelling at everybody.
What if you edited out all of this?
If we edited out all of this and what?
If you edited out all of this conversation to make it sound like, yeah, I got it, it was a joke.
Can we do that, bud?
Yeah, it'd take a little bit of time. We can do it.
All right, we'll edit it out so no one will hear this argument we had, and it'll sound like, yeah, ha-ha. Hey, Bob, my cat had runny diarrhea.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, what's it?
Hey, Bob, my cat had runny diarrhea.
Ha! Well, there you go, Phil. It takes all kinds. Even cats with runny diarrhea are welcome at Fraser Foods.
I don't know. You might want to change that up a little bit.
All right, how about this? Even a family that has a cat that's sick with intestinal problems, come on into Fraser Foods. I'm sure you'll find a cure for the animal.
Perfect.
All right, so cut out all that stuff where I'm whining like a...
Like a B-I-T-C-H?
Oh, man.
Well?
Yes, cut all that out.
And put in that other part, bud.
Okay.
Okay, Bob?
All right, thanks a lot.
Where'd he go?
I'm trying to hang up.
You can't hang up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bye.
All right. Oh, what on
the... Phil, I can tell you're really struggling with this cold. Why do you say that? I don't know. It just seems like you're sweating. You're losing your train of thought. There's all kinds of things going wrong.
He's doing fine, believe me.
No? No, he's not, because I'm listening to him do your voice. Thank you very much, folks, for listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. See y'all tomorrow. Well, give Phil a round of applause for at least making a go of it, man.
Hey.
Very good, Phil.
To the other side. Through the unfortunate events of a love gone for the worst. The worst.
so sad. As sad as the last picture showed.